Welcome to Menachem Begin, His Life, Legacy, and Uniquely Jewish Statesmanship, a limited series podcast brought to you by Tikva and MeirSoloveitchik.com. This special series is sponsored by the Hart N. and Simona Haston Family Foundation in partnership with the Menachem Begin Heritage Center in Jerusalem. The episodes in this study of Prime Minister Begin's remarkable leadership are drawn from Rabbi Soloveitchik's comprehensive, year-long podcast on the history of the most interesting city in the world, Jerusalem 365. Jerusalem 365 is available at MeirSoloveitchik.com. And now, on to Begin. This is episode number 14, The Miracle of Osirak.
In June of 1981, as Jews in Israel and around the world were preparing to mark the festival of Shavuot, Menachem Begin in Jerusalem awaited word of the fate of the planes that he had sent to strike Osirak. It was with joy and relief that he was told that the mission had been a total success and that all of the pilots were returning safe and sound. As Avi Shilon describes, Begin then had to face the question of whether Israel would openly announce what it had done. Shilon writes, quote, "The prime minister, unlike most of his cabinet colleagues who feared the consequences of officially accepting responsibility, insisted that an official announcement be made. He explained that the operation's success would strengthen Israel's deterrence capability and added that the IDF did not operate, quote-unquote, like a thief in the night. In the meantime, Shilon further tells us, he withdrew to draft the announcement. At the end of the announcement, he noted, 'We shall not allow our enemies to develop weapons of mass destruction against our people.'" End quote. Thus did Begin inform the media that he had ordered one of the most audacious operations in modern military history, a mission that had seemed impossible, planes flying a total of 2,000 miles without any ability to refuel, planes flying under the assumption that not all the pilots would make it back alive. We can imagine Begin's ebullience when he announced what had been achieved to the world. There was, however, as Shilon further tells us, only one problem. The notion that a prime minister weeks away from an election would have ordered such a strike was so unthinkable that the media refused to believe it. Shilon describes the prime minister waiting in vain after his administration's announcement for the Israeli broadcast agency to bring the news to the public. Quote, "In fact, the news editors at the Israeli broadcast agency did not believe what they had heard. Uri Porat, the new communications advisor to the prime minister, phoned to find out what was holding up the announcement. But since his voice was unfamiliar to the news editors, they were convinced that it was a hoax. Finally, journalist Emmanuel Halperin, Begin's nephew, decided to call his uncle. And thus, in an intimate conversation between Begin family members, the announcement that would cause a furor throughout the world came to light. But it was broadcast of all places in a news flash on Radio 3, the IBA's pop music station, at 3:30 p.m., and Begin had to wait yet another half hour to hear it in an official IBA newscast." End quote. As I reflected in commentary, this is truly an only-in-Israel story. An earth-shattering event announced on a pop station, ignored elsewhere, until it was confirmed by an impeccable source, mishpacha, family. This is how what became known as the Begin Doctrine was announced to the world. The tale of the Israeli Broadcast Agency is noteworthy because, more than four decades later, it is easy to forget how unexpected the attack had been and how outraged much of the world was. Those meeting with Begin as he planned for the strike, who had come to speak about other subjects, could not have imagined what was going through his mind. Thus, as Shilon further tells us, in May of 1981, while meeting with American Jews, Begin was asked by the visitors what he thought was the lesson of the Holocaust. Begin replied, quote, "First, if an enemy of our people says he seeks to destroy us, believe him. Don't doubt him for a moment. Don't make light of it. Do all in your power to deny him the means of carrying out his satanic intent. Second, when a Jew anywhere is threatened or under attack, do all in your power to come to his aid. Never pause to wonder what the world will think or say. The world will never pity slaughtered Jews. The world may not necessarily like the fighting Jew, but the world will have to take account of him." End quote. Of course, these American Jews had no idea what Begin was planning when he said these words. Begin was indeed the fighting Jew, and much of the world certainly did not like him very much. Time magazine infamously informed its readership that the name Begin, quote-unquote, rhymes with Fagin, referencing the anti-Semitic stereotype of Dickens' Oliver Twist. But Begin, to paraphrase his very words to these American visitors, did not pause to wonder what the world would say, and the world did indeed have to take account of him. At the same time, as I further noted in commentary, this fighting Jew that acted to neutralize the Iraqi threat was also a Jew of profound faith. Yehuda Avner, Begin's speechwriter, describes how, as the planes took off, Begin said to himself, Hashem Yishmor Alehem, may God protect them. Yehuda Avner further tells us that while waiting for news, quote, Begin began prowling the room, head down, face grim, arms behind his back, his lips moving almost imperceptibly, in the manner of one muttering prayers to himself, end quote. And, according to Yehuda Avner, the prime minister, when Begin was informed that the strike was successful, he instinctively exclaimed two words that Jews have said every day for centuries, but which no other Israeli prime minister before him would have instinctively uttered, Baruch Hashem, thank God.
The Menachem Begin Heritage Center is the national commemoration project honoring and preserving the legacy of Israel's sixth prime minister. The Begin Center houses a library, archives, research center, educational department, and a full museum. Its mission is to pass on to the next generation the principles of Menachem Begin's values-driven leadership and to provide a space to explore what that means in today's complicated world. Visit the Begin Center in the heart of Jerusalem to experience the life and times of Menachem Begin.
As Yehuda Avner writes, quote, Baruch Hashem, cried Begin, clapping his hands in jubilation. Oh, thank God. Oh, thanks to the Almighty for having blessed us with such fine sons as pilots. So Yehuda Avner writes, and he further describes how a month later, when Prime Minister Begin met with the American Jewish leader Max Fischer, Begin reflected further on the religious meaning of the moment, saying the following. Am I a believer? Do I believe in Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel? The answer is a categorical yes. How else to account for our success in accomplishing the virtually impossible? Every conceivable type of enemy weaponry was arraigned against our pilots. And Yehuda Avner tells us that Begin concluded, only by the grace of God could we have succeeded in that mission. And so, all these descriptions of Begin, from Shilon and from Yehuda Avner as the prime ministers, presents us with the question, was the success of the strike on Osirek a strategic achievement or was it a miracle? For Prime Minister Begin, the answer was both. Did the Osirek strike, the origins of the Begin Doctrine, reflect the modern Israeli insistence on taking Jewish safety into its own hands, or did it embody the age-old faith in God? Again, the answer for Begin was both. Both went hand in hand in the Zionism of Menachem Begin. It was Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik who, in his landmark essay, The Lonely Man of Faith, describes two different personalities, Adam the First and Adam the Second, personalities paralleled in the title of another one of his essays, Majesty and Humility. Adam the First is majestic, seeking to fulfill the Almighty's instruction in the Garden of Eden, Milu et ha'aretz v'chivshua, fill the world and conquer it, which Rabbi Soloveitchik understood to mean achieve scientific breakthroughs, cure disease, build cities, serve as the Almighty's partner in creation. But then there is Adam the Second, man who is ever aware of his finitude, who finds true fulfillment in humbling himself before the omnipotent, omniscient creator. Judaism, according to Rabbi Soloveitchik, recognizes both Adams as being inherent in our nature, both willed by God, and both Adams were united in Begin Zionism. Osirek was, on the one hand, a story of strategy, preemptive action, but it was also a story of prayer and gratitude to God. No other Israeli leader, until Begin, had so seamlessly merged the Zionist present and the diasporic past, simultaneously making manifest Jewish independence and humble faith. Since 1981, Israel has acted several times to prevent its enemies from acquiring nuclear capacity, and it is much stronger militarily and diplomatically than it was in Begin's day. This is a wonderful thing. But what remains missed is Begin himself, a leader who joined strong action with profound communion to the past, who ordered an ingenious operation and prayed to God for its success, who remembered from his own childhood experience the faith of simple Jews in his community and made the memory of that faith so fundamental a part of his own Zionism. As the election campaign continued, and Begin was accused by his opponents of ordering the operation for electoral reasons, Begin, at a rally, had a ready reply. He said, Yehudim, atem makirim oti 40 shana. Jews, you have known me for 40 years. And he concluded, saying essentially something to the effect of, do you think I would place soldiers in harm's way? Leman bechirot? For elections? The answer to that question was obvious. Today, the legacy of the Begin Doctrine lives on. The legacy of the Osirek operation lives on. And what lives on with that is the legacy of the fighting Jew, who merged his fighting with faith. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.